Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
I am the voice. I am the one, though he was not the word, he was the voice. He was not the Christ, but that does not mean that he is without significance because he was a chosen vessel of God. It is the voice that makes the word known. It is the voice that brings the word alive. It is the voice that sings. It is the voice that testifies. It is the voice that proclaims. It is the voice that takes an inward experience and makes it available for others to understand. And this is why Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Give voice to what's in your heart. Give voice to the word. John's voice, yes, was a unique voice in all of history. The voice of the office of the forerunner of Christ. But his is not the only voice of the gospel. The Lord desires all who have been redeemed to say so. He commands all. If I have done a work in your heart, I am calling you to say so, to say that, to testify to that publicly, to tell you, to tell the world of his love, of his righteousness, of his grace and his mercy. In my life, there's no greater privilege than this, to be given an opportunity to speak to you about Christ. And I don't say this for any other reason than to tell you how precious an opportunity it is to speak to people about Christ. Every Friday when I finally get finished at work, every Friday it seems, I won't say every, but almost every Friday as I leave and I get in my car, and there is something, and though I have tried to study and to pray throughout the week in preparation, there is something now, it's like the pathway is now clear. I am ready now to begin to think wholly about this opportunity in these few moments to tell you about this one, Jesus Christ. And there is a lifting in my heart, and my heart begins to beat faster, and I begin to think, God, what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to come in at church and tell these people that I love about you. There's a voice that needs to be given to this. There's a voice that has been silenced in our culture for far too long, and that is the voice of the love of Jesus Christ for lost humanity. Give it voice in your life. While I try again and do this, I pray that we do this together. To stand and speak to the world of the love of Christ and of judgment to come and peace in Christ. None of us are the Word. None of us are Him. But we are all to give voice to the doctrine of Christ to make Him known in the world. So what about you? Are you giving voice to what you know is true within you? Are you speaking of the things of God in the world? Do you sound different than the world? Or does your voice sound essentially like that of someone who claims no attachment at all to Christ? Do you talk about your children the way the world talks about theirs? Do you speak about your money the way the world speaks about theirs? Does God's word leap off of your tongue? Or do you seldom, if ever, give voice to the word in your daily life? Do you think about and speak about your future like the world does, or like a child of God does? I am the voice, John says. He's asked this threatening question about his identity, and he says, I am the voice. And may you know, I who know the Lord, see ourselves in the same light, that we are together the voice who cries in the wilderness, John said. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. When you and I think of a wilderness, we typically think of, at least for me, I think of a forest, I think of rivers, I think of birds, and I think of life teeming in a wilderness. It's not at all what the Greek eremos is. It's a desert place. It's a place largely uninhabited by people, only sparse vegetation. John is quoting. He's telling them. Is he not telling them exactly who he is? He is. Because Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 said, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist told them exactly who he was. We have in this, though, yet another example of the spiritual place from which John is coming. He is not merely in a remote desert in the strictest sense of the word. He's not in a place uninhabited by people. There were many people around him, but he was in a spiritual desert. The nation of Israel had become wanderers in a spiritual desert, and they had become lost, more lost than they ever were during their 40 years of wandering, waiting to enter the promised land. They had become lost and in darkness, and in where there was darkness, light was shown. It was Jesus Christ, the Word. And the light was the life of men. If you're going to be the voice for the word, you better be prepared to be the voice in a spiritual desert. Because that's where we live. You better be prepared to be a voice that will find perhaps relatively few who will acknowledge or lend their voice in support of yours. There's a famine in our land in the same way that there was a famine in the land during Amos' day of the hearing of the word of God. Amos 8:11, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of a hearing of the words of the Lord. God brought this famine because the people of Israel had rejected him for so long, and any nation that rejects God rejects him at their own peril, and they will one day find themselves in a famine of the word of God. So lend your voice to this. Your voice and mine. Any voice of the word will be speaking in a spiritually dry and thirsty land. But speak we must, because it is our commission. And we never know. We never know when God might make those dry bones live. Perhaps today. I want to encourage you, especially if you're young, with this. Lend your voice to God and speak of Him in your life. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I need to move towards an end. He's not only a preacher or a voice of one crying in the wilderness. What did He cry? What did He say in a spiritually dark land? The temptation will be for us to preach a message that attracts the blind. But we must remember that we are to preach the message that brings people to the light. And the message is the message of repentance. There's too much preaching today that tells people that it's okay to be blind. There's too much preaching in the world today that tells people it's okay to be blind, because after all, most of the rest of us are. John did not bow to this cultural pressure. He preached the necessity of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We see that in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Not just a little repentance, but complete immersed repentance, because that's what baptism means. This message was terribly offensive to the Jews. This is what bothered them. John, why are you baptizing? They were accustomed to baptism, but to a Jew, it was a Gentile who was baptized into the Jewish community when they became a proselyte. Never a Jew. In their minds, a Jew didn't need to be baptized because, after all, they were already Jewish. And that's what made them righteous in their eyes, children of Abraham. There are many today that feel the same. So they're in no need of being baptized, because perhaps they were baptized as infants. Maybe they were baptized in connection with some expected religious activity that they performed as young people. But the baptism of John was a baptism that testified to the individual having repented of their sin. And yet, though offensive, it was the very message that Isaiah said he would bring. Comfort, Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. There's now equal footing. There is now equal footing with the Redeemer, the Son of God, the Christ. There's no mountain to climb. There's no valley to descend. There's no obstacle any longer in the way. The way has been made straight and level for all, regardless of nationality, ethnicity, or background, or heritage. John's voice in the wilderness was the voice that cut through the silence since Malachi, that Christ was coming, and that the way for all men to return to God was being made available. I want to say one more thing, this final piece, if you'll give me a moment more of your attention. Who are you? Why do you baptize? We find those who came to question John are in truth deaf, unable, or unwilling, or both, to hear what he was saying. Religious men have a tendency to believe that they are always asking the right questions and always know the right answers, but here their deafness to what John was saying is obvious. He was clearly claiming, he here clearly claimed to be the one Isaiah foretold would come prior to Christ's arrival, but they're now so focused only on what they considered to be John's gross audacity to baptize Jews, that's all they're really thinking about now. They ask him in verse 25, why are you baptizing? If you're neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet, whose authority, John, are you baptizing under? They never ask themselves the same question. Who is our authority from? It was assumed. John had in truth already answered this question. The reason they did not hear him hear the answer is because they would not hear the answer. The reason they would not hear the answer is because they were so offended by it. What answers from God are you ignoring today because, frankly, it's offensive to you? When you have prayed to God and asked Him for direction, when you've prayed to God for some answer and He's answered it, but you haven't heard it because it's offensive to you? What question are you demanding others answer before you'll even listen to what they have to say? And as we come to us as a people sometimes, what religious qualifications are we demanding of others before we even listen with an honest heart? Today's religions have many of these qualifications, just like the Jews did. What degree from seminary do you hold? What church are you a part of? Are you one of us, or are you one of them? Who do you think wants us arguing over these gnats? While men, women, and children are dying every day, swallowing the camel-sized lies of this culture, during which time we spend our years and so much of our strength bickering and fighting among ourselves over our religious pride. Pride in all its forms is ugly and destructive, but perhaps in no other place is it more destructive and more ugly than religious pride. It's destroyed so many lives. I am not the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, John says. I baptize you with water. Having made the point that he merely baptized with water, John speaks to the one who baptizes with the Spirit of God. John, writing many years after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, writes only a part of John's reply here. He almost seems to assume that you've read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or you've heard what they've said, because he's writing many years later. And it's in John and Luke and Matthew that we, or in Matthew and Mark and Luke, that we read the full answer. Because in verses 26 and 27 of here, John chapter 1, it can seem like a sentence that isn't finished, and in some respects it is. He says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. That is all John says, but Luke tells us more in Luke 3, verse 16. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John is making a very real distinction between his baptism and the baptism of Christ, who will baptize in the Holy Spirit, who will immerse in the Holy Spirit. A moment ago, I spoke of the great damage that is done when we follow our religious pride and follow that in our hearts. But do not mistake that for the absence of a need to be doctrinally true to what the Word of God says. It's not a license for us to be so open-minded that we fall for anything and fall for everything. But do not mistake this. It is important that we get what God has said in His Word right. Becoming a Christian involves a conversion experience, an immersion in the Holy Spirit. It's what the Bible says to us. It's not merely intellectual agreement with the Bible. I've met a lot of people who I believe intellectually agree with the Bible that I wonder, is there any fire? Is there any flame? Is there anything inside of them? A conversion experience. It's not merely shaking hands with a preacher and nodding once or twice at the appropriate times. It's not just identifying with a particular group of people. It is an immersion in the Spirit of God and a change that is wrought in the heart, a new birth. The Bible cannot be any more clear. And we come towards our close. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old passed away, all things become new. Jesus himself in John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am not the one who saves, John says. I am not the one who baptizes in this Holy Spirit. I baptize you in water unto repentance, because it is a symbol and a testimony that inwardly you have done that with God, and he has baptized you in the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who saves from unquenchable fire. John, in his answer here to the Jews, has declared openly that it was not in his power to deliver from the judgment of God. Why was John so bold on this day? Why was William Tyndale so bold in his life up until the very point of his death to translate this word into the language that we're reading it in today? Why was Adoniram Judson so bold as to leave a life of relative comfort here and travel to Burma, lose multiple wives in the work of the Lord? Why was Hudson Taylor moved to go to China? Why was David Livingstone moved to go to Africa? Why did these men and women, why did they give up all of these things? Why did they do it? Why did John stand here before these people who he knew could have dramatic effect on his life and simply stand there and boldly proclaim the truth? Why? How? Isn't that what we want to know? Sometimes as children of God, don't we want to know, how can I be more bold? Why am I not more bold when someone says something in my presence that's contrary to what God says, and in my heart I am grieved and I want to help them and guide them? Why is my mouth silent? Because we have forgotten to a large degree, at least in the way that we think and the way that we practice, I think, that salvation is the only thing. Salvation of Jesus Christ is the only thing that is going to redeem and save and rescue from an unquenchable fire. These are not games we're playing. These are not let's get up and dress in our nice fancy clothes on Sunday to play a game. Men have not given their lives. Women have not given their lives. Wives of ministers have not labored unknown and unthought in the background to pray and to support for anything less than they understood what was at stake. John's was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, obedient to his calling to prepare the highway for the Lord. He could not force anyone to believe. He could not force anyone to accept his words. He could only testify and compel men to repent. He could only plead with men to prepare to meet God. In the same way, may we plead with men today. Come to him. Come to this voice who speaks of the word.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.